Well, good morning, everyone. How you doing? All right, I'm about 70% this morning. So I am cough medicined up and cough dropped up and got the orange Gatorade over here just in case. I made about 3 phone calls last night. And interestingly enough, on Saturday night, no one will take my phone calls. So no, I made that part up. I didn't make any phone calls or anything, but it would be an interesting experiment to see if late on a Saturday night, somebody got a call from me and they're like, nope, not answering it. Don't want to know. So anyway, how many of us have ever found ourselves in a situation where we were faced with the stark reality that once our words are out there, they're out there. And no matter how much we wish we could, we can't take them back, and we can't undo them. So I remember this very, very vividly with a young man who was part of the student ministries that that I led at a church in Fort Wayne. Surrounding one of our programs, he passed in the hallway one of the female adult leaders. And so as they passed in the hallway, he looked at her, and he just made what he thought was a passing comment. He goes, oh, I didn't know you were pregnant. She wasn't. And her face communicated more than you might imagine. Now, what he didn't know is that they had been desperately trying to get pregnant. And we're having all sorts of problems and had many, many pregnancy disappointments. And we're going through all that. And so this innocent comment that he made carried an enormous amount of power in her life. And we've all experienced this in some way. We've all experienced the power of our words. We've all experienced a situation in which we've lost confidence because of something that someone said to us. Or the opposite is true too. We all have stories of times when we've gained confidence because of words that someone has spoken into our life that is encouraging. Words are powerful. And words sometimes cause us problems when we throw them out there and we realize that they can't be taken back. And one of the interesting things about words is that negative words have a greater and longer lasting impact on us than positive words. In fact, depending on what sources that you consider, most studies reveal that it takes a minimum of 5 and sometimes up to 10 or more positive comments to counterbalance one negative comment made to us. Think about that. It's a ratio of 1 to 5 to 10. And what is our tendency? To speak more positively or to speak more negatively? Contrary to what many of us think, criticism and negativity is not a spiritual gift. But we all have these stories. Another interesting thing about words is that very often, I'm sorry doesn't undo the negative impact of the words that we chose and used in a particular scenario. Fortunately, for those of us who find ourselves sometimes more often than we prefer to experience word problems as the result of words we choose and use, God has given us this button. So go ahead and throw it up on the screen. God has given us this button. Unfortunately, what we need more often than that button is this button. We need a rewind button. We don't have a rewind button, but we do have a pause button. And if we can figure out how to navigate the pause button, it will lessen our need for the rewind button, and we will find ourselves experiencing less problems as a result of words that we use. So, Jesus' brother James is an interesting guy. We looked at something that he wrote to the early church last week, and what we discovered about James, it's one of the things that's interesting about James is He didn't believe in Jesus' claim to be the Son of God until after the resurrection. Before that, he thought his brother was crazy. And having watched Jesus die on the cross, and then a few days later be able to have dinner with him, kind of changed James's tune. And so James became an influential leader in the early church, eventually was killed for his belief that Jesus' claim was true. And in the meantime, he wrote a letter to the church. And in this letter, he gives us some insight into how we can guard and control what seems to be an insignificant part of our body that has an exponentially significant impact on our lives. Okay? So here's what he says. He says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. Now, we should just stop there and go home. Indeed. This is true. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. Now, we know that all of us get trapped up, all of us make mistakes, all of us fall short, and so perfect is unattainable. We know that it's perfect. He says, but if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So James is making a connection between every other part of our lives and our tongue. He's saying if we could control this one part of who we are, we might be able to keep the rest of us out of trouble too. Now, how many of us have ever experienced anything like that? That something you said caused bigger problems than beyond just what you said? And if we could find a way to rein this one thing in, we're going to have better success in every other aspect of our lives. So I don't know about you, but this seems like kind of a big deal. If there was one thing that we could control that would have a domino effect and keep the rest of us out of trouble, I don't know. I think I'd like to discover that one. So James doesn't stop there. He then goes on to give us a couple of word pictures that kind of illustrate this guarding and controlling our tongues so that we can control the rest of everything else. So here's what he says. He said, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. Now, the average horse weighs somewhere, depending on what breed, it varies from breed to breed and all that, but if you go just the average horse, there's a pretty large span because of the different breeds and stuff, but the average horse weighs between 850 and 2,200 pounds. The latest statistics show that the average U.S. male weighs about 198 pounds, and the average U.S. female weighs about 171 pounds. Now, from sheer size and assumed strength between just the size, it would seem impossible for someone who weighs 171 or 198 pounds to make something that weighs 800 to 2,200 pounds go where it wants it to go. But it is possible. And James says it is possible by just taking a small bit and placing it in the horse's mouth. And if you want to control the whole horse, control the horse's mouth. And you don't have to be a horse's in the process. Just figure we get all the horse's body parts in there. If you want to control the whole horse, control the whole horse's, or just control the horse's mouth. And James says that's what it's like for us. You want to control the whole body, get control over the tongue. And James uses another word picture, and he goes a little bit bigger than the horse. He says, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Now, other than buildings, in the first century, some of the largest items or objects constructed were ships. And so a merchant ship like this from the first century would hold about 200 people and tons of cargo. And so the captain, or the pilot, as James calls him, has the responsibility of making this large, weighted down ship go where it wants it to go, where he wants it to go. And he has to do that no matter how strong the winds are, no matter how strong the waves are. The captain has a direction that he wants the ship to go, and it is his responsibility to make this huge ship go where he wants it to go. Now, the average pilot of a ship, I have no idea how much the average pilot of a ship weighs. So since we did the average on the horse, I thought maybe we could do the average on the pilot, but I have no idea how much the average pilot weighs. But can you imagine one person with the responsibility to make this large ship go where it wants it to go, with all the other weight, with all the cargo, with all the wind and the waves and all of that? So how does one person make a ship that size go where he wants it to go? James says it's a small rudder. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Right there. A rudder that size on a ship that large is what they use to make a ship like that go where they want it to go. James says, if you want to make the ship, this large ship, go where you want it to go, take control of the rudder. James's point is obvious. And his point is that something seemingly insignificant can have an extraordinary influence. A bit in the mouth of a horse, something insignificant can have extraordinary influence. A rudder on a ship, seemingly insignificant, can have extraordinary influence. And he made the connection to start the word pictures with the tongue. Control the tongue, because the tongue is a seemingly insignificant part of our body, but can have an extraordinary influence on the direction and the quality of our lives. So after creating these couple of word pictures, James then goes back to the tongue. And he says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. So in other words, in the same way, just like a horse, a bit in a horse's mouth, just like a rudder on a ship, in the same way, the tongue is a seemingly insignificant part of our body. But I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, but sometimes the tongue can have extraordinary influence, not just in our lives, but in the lives of those around us, because of the words that we choose and use. Seemingly insignificant part of our body that makes grand speeches. Anybody ever known somebody who makes grand speeches? Anybody ever know somebody who just kind of ran their mouth? The human tongue is made up of 8 muscles. And one of the most fascinating things about the 8 muscles of the human tongue is they don't seem to ever get tired. Now, I know that comes as a huge shock to many of us. But James says this is a big deal. That this seemingly insignificant part of our body can unleash power. Now, he goes back again to give us a couple more word pictures about this idea. And he says, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. In the first century culture that James writes, the translation probably was more like a brush fire that kind of spread. But we certainly get the idea of a forest fire. In late 2016, the state of Tennessee experienced what is now called the Great Smoky Mountain Fires. Over the course of 2 weeks, the Great Smoky Mountain Fires consumed over 15,000 square miles of land in the national park, and another 6,000 acres around and surrounding the park. Over 14,000 people were evacuated, and more than 2,400 buildings were either damaged or destroyed. There was over $2 billion worth of damage done in the Great Smoky Mountain wildfires. And there were 14 deaths and more than 650 injuries as a result of a fire that started near the Chimney Tops Trail when two boys, one age 15 and one age 17, were playing with matches, and they struck one seemingly insignificant match and caused an enormous amount of catastrophe. Check out this picture. One seemingly insignificant match caused an enormous amount of catastrophe. And James says, a tiny spark can set an entire forest on fire. And then he makes it a little bit more personal to us when he says, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. He says the tongue can start a fire like a match can start an entire forest fire. He said the problems that we cause with our words go beyond our words. And we all know this to be true, right? I mean, there may be some of you sitting here today who have lost jobs because of the problem your mouth got you into. There may be some of you who have lost or damaged relationships because of the problem your words and your mouth got you into. There are some of us here today who no longer have the benefit of the doubt with people that we're in relationship with because of things we've said and the effect that what we have said has had on those relationships. And James says that the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness that corrupts your entire body. So the words we use and choose have an effect beyond just the words that we choose and use. And James isn't quite done. He says, oh, but here's the deal. This isn't James. Excuse me. So here's the harsh reality that we live with in relationship to the words we choose and use about this tongue setting a cross or setting a spark, a whole fire, okay? You are responsible for the word problems you cause, even if you cause them accidentally. And here's why. You chose them and you used them. Whether I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but when our words get us into trouble, what's one of the first things that we do? We defend ourselves. And what do we defend ourselves with? More words. Here's how this goes. Very often, this is how this goes. We unleash a barrage of words. We hurt someone. We figure out that we hurt them. And we go, oh, I'm sorry. I was just mad. Right? And the other person goes, I'm still hurt. Or sometimes it'll come out with, well, I didn't really mean to say that. Well, guess what? You did. You did say it. Or sometimes it's, I didn't really mean what I said. Well, then you shouldn't have said it. And this is one of my favorites. We unleash a barrage of words. The person's hurt. We know they're hurt. And we go to defend ourselves with, but you did this. To which the easiest comeback in the world is, yeah, maybe, but you still said this. You know, and here's the deal. You are responsible for the word problems you cause, even if you cause them accidentally. One seemingly insignificant part of our body can have extraordinary influence. So, back to what James was saying. It, meaning your tongue, can set your whole life on fire. It is set on fire by hell itself. Now, when James uses the word hell here, I'm glad my kids aren't in here because I would be getting in trouble. Daddy said hell. When he uses that word here, it isn't to reference the place that we all often think of. He is referencing a source of evil. And so he says, your tongue can set your whole life on fire, for it, your tongue, is set on fire by a source of evil itself. Now, there is just something inside each of us that has a hard time keeping the words from coming out, right? We've all heard the old phrase, you know, that there are situations and circumstances where you need to hold your tongue. Right? And how many of you have ever been in that situation where you've literally wanted to grab in there and just hold the tongue physically to keep the words from coming out? Or we've been told there are circumstances where you need to bite your tongue, right? And how many of you have ever said, yeah, I was in that situation and I was biting my tongue till the blood was squirting out? You know, you're biting that because you, whatever you want to say, you can't say. But then how many times have we been in situations where we should have held our tongue that we didn't? And we should have bit our tongue, but we didn't. And then we're faced with the reality that many of our relational regrets are caused by times when we should have just kept our mouths shut. But for some reason, James knows there's something about us, there's something inside of us that those words come out and there is no rewind, undo, delete, or edit button, which is why there is so much wisdom in the pause button. So James continues. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. For the most part, humankind has managed to tame every kind of animal. So much so that in those environments where we've tamed animals, those animals, for the most part, don't pose a threat to humankind. Now, I know that the analogy that James used breaks down a little bit in the wild because, you know, if you're out in the wild and you run across a bear, that bear does pose a threat to you, right? But haven't some people been able to tame bears and lions and tigers and monkeys? Oh my. For the most part, we've been able to tame it all. It doesn't pose a threat to us, but James says no one can tame the tongue. The word can literally means to be able to. And it's almost like James is saying, you will not be able to tame your tongue. It's going to continue to cause you problems because it can set a whole world on fire because somewhere the tongue unleashes this source of evil that is within each and every one of us. So James gives us a whole lot of hope. No one can tame the tongue. We may not be able to tame it, but we can guard it and we can control it. At the very beginning, James said, if we can control our tongues, we can control the rest of everything else. But he says, no one can tame the tongue. And then he tells us why. He says, it, your tongue, is restless. Again, eight muscles, never get tired. It's restless. It just can't keep itself idle. And evil, we talked about that, full of deadly poison. Really? Deadly poison out of our tongue? Out of the words that we use? Anybody ever experienced that? I almost wonder if our tongues shouldn't come with a warning label. You know, I mean, poison substances on the containers in the jar have this warning label. This warning label says, keep out of reach of children. And I almost wonder if we shouldn't have a warning label on our tongues that says, keep this from becoming childish. It is restless and evil. It is full of deadly poison. And then James says, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. So on one hand, you have people who speak highly of God and who God is, and maybe even their relationship with God. And then they turn and they speak curses to those who have been made in the image of God. It's the same tongue. And then he goes on to say, and so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Some of the most powerful words that James writes and communicates to the early followers of Jesus and to people like us is in that phrase, this is not right. He's built this case for the wildness of the tongue. And he's told us, control it and you control everything else. And he said, but still, there are people who talk highly about God and then talk highly or talk lowly about people in relationship made in the image of God. Blessing and curse, same tongue, but still a problem. And he says, this is not the way we should treat each other. It is not the way we should speak to each other. And it is not the kind of people that we should be. It should be different for us. And then he asks a question. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Go ahead, next slide. Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. He uses these questions to create this word picture that connects to the words that we choose and use and the impact that they have. He says, a fig tree doesn't produce olives, and a grapevine doesn't produce figs. And he's saying that what comes out of our mouths reflects what's going on inside of us. You can't get fresh water and bitter water out of the same source. And so the blessing and cursing coming out of the same source, this is not right. And one of the most fascinating things about what James writes here, excuse me, this is the end of the subject for him. He just stops and goes on to the next subject. And if you read this on your own, the abrupt change, it's almost like, wait. That's it? You're not going to give us any solution? You're not going to tell us how to control the tongue? You're not going to give us two nice, easy steps for how we can control our tongue and keep the rest of us out? I mean, we want that, right? James doesn't give us that. And maybe the reason he doesn't give it is because there is no easy two-step solution for how to control our tongue. Maybe this isn't a lesson that we learn and then move on from. Maybe it's something we need to continually evaluate in our lives. And maybe it's something we need to continually guard and continually control, because it is not a once and done type of thing, but it is a pattern of life that is reflected with the power of our words. A small, insignificant, seemingly insignificant part of our bodies can have extraordinary impact in the quality and direction of our lives and the lives of those around us. So, let me suggest a couple of words this morning that maybe we can grab onto these two words and maybe take a step down the path of guarding, of guarding and controlling our tongues. The first one is remember. Remember the power of our words. Remember the extraordinary impact that the words we choose and use can have on those around us. And remember that when our words are out there, they're out there. They can't be brought back. There is no rewind button, there is no undo button, there is no delete button, but there is a pause button. And so remember that sometimes the wisest thing we can do is to push pause to guard and control our tongues. And then the second word is to relinquish. Relinquish the choice of our words to only those that will be encouraging to others and honoring to them. This is true even in conversations that are difficult and challenging. This is true in conversations where we have to hold people accountable. This is true in conversations when people have wounded us and hurt us with words, and it is true when we have wounded others. If we can guard and control our tongues and use only those words which are encouraging and honoring to others, can you imagine how much less of a problem our words would have caused? There is no easy answer. There is no two steps. You got this one, you got it mastered, and you're well on your way. Because there is something inside of each of us that wants these words to come out. We cannot tame the tongue, but we can guard it and we can control it. And our words don't have to have just negative impact. Our words can be used for good. So, with that, come back next week for part 3 of the Solving Word Problems, and we will dig into how our words can be used for good. Let me pray for us. When I'm done praying, we'll roll the preview video for you. When the preview video is over, you are dismissed. As you greet me today, if you greet me today, take no offense if I don't shake your hand. It might be an elbow bump or a fist bump or something. Now, you're certainly more than welcome to shake my hand if you want all this. shared with you, but take no offense to that. So let me pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. And thank you for shedding some insight into this dynamic about a seemingly insignificant part of our body that has extraordinary influence and impact in the quality and direction of our lives and the lives of those around us. As we leave today, may we be intentionally thinking about practical ways that we can guard and control our tongues, that we can push pause so that we have to less frequently push rewind. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.